Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services out through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed future results. Trek 26-112. God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB and Hollywood and Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, and God said, "Let there be light." Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman, and welcome to A Disciple's View. You could say that this is one of the days that we're going to defy the news cycle. We do that from time to time. We ask ourselves, what is the top news story to God? And always caution ourselves that it's a dangerous thing to try to think like God, because his ways are so far above ours in every single capacity. We can consult his words. We can spend time in it as we should. We can pray and make sure that we spend time listening to how God speaks to us in prayer. We can spend time around Christians more mature in the faith than we are. We can listen to God's acts in our life. We can watch the circumstances sometimes that are very clearly created by God. But we can't always think like him. But we can take a big guess that the top news story to God continues to be the fact that the free redemption, a gift that we cannot earn, in the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, is still available. The good news, the gospel. So you could say today is one of those days we were going to defy the news cycle. I would say otherwise. I would suggest that the news cycle should be following what we're about to talk about. And that is the fact that there is a movement called Child Liberation Theology. Have you ever heard of Child Liberation Theology? So Child Liberation Theology is the same thing as Black Liberation Theology. Oh, is this about black children? No. It's about children in general. It's about children being liberated from the confines of our Western parenting style. So what are the confines of our Western parenting style? Well, they're parents, the nuclear family. And there are people who are teaching child liberation, and they are moving through the courts and more often behind the scenes to help children get liberated from their parents. Not in cases of abuse, not in cases of neglect, but in cases of disagreement. I've shared with you the sort of so-called therapist called detachment brokers. A detachment broker is, it's a phrase, a woman came up with this. I wish I remembered her name. She's exactly correct. There are therapists who now teach clients that if members of your nuclear family do not agree with you in all things, particularly sexual things, such as same-sex attraction and activity, or the lies of transgenderism, that you should cut them out of your life because they cause you pain. that you should surround yourself with a family that always affirms. So you choose family members. Now you think of a therapist taking the connection that God built for all of us, our nuclear family. And there's some people who've been adopted and IVF, etc. So some people aren't blessed that way. But if you think about God's plan for family, then you have a therapist stepping in to say, no, cut them loose. And it's not because they're abusive to you. Again, it's not because they hit you or they deride you or they're cruel to you. It's because you disagree. And this extends, believe it or not, into if you have parents, family members who voted for President Trump, and President Trump causes you psychic pain, you should cut them loose out of your life. Think of that. Detachment brokers. This is happening in schools. There are books being written by school counselors, and they're selling, teaching kids that your nuclear family is not always the best family for you. It happens that some person, a man, who was a practicer and teacher of child liberation theology, took his own life. This comes from protestia.com. The letter he left behind is, I think, instructive. And there's some background that you should know here. First of all, I joined my friend David Morrell, who runs the site protestia.com, in calling for prayers for this man's family. Because what a pain they must carry. This guy's name was Ryan Stoller, Christian child liberation theologian, called himself. You, I guess, can be a theologist and study religions and consider children people who should be allowed to have complete autonomy from their parents, but you can't be a Christian and do that. So he was a child liberation theologist, died by suicide last week, Sunday of last week. And he left a note. And part of his note read, if there is a God, I will go to my eternal destination and slap him in the face. Now, as I understand it, this man had faced some horrible abuse in his life. Horrible, ground-shaking, soul-wrenching abuse. But God didn't do it to him. And he wrote God, of course, lowercase g. And I hate to point out that dying in defiance, dying while defying God, while expressing hatred for God, you're not going to slap him in the face. On the day of judgment, your knee's going to bow like everyone else. When you go before the judgment throne, you are going to be very clear of the majesty of Christ Jesus and the decision you made for eternity. So this guy had been a former evangelist. He wrote The Kingdom of the Children, and he was an abuse survivor, advocate for himself, and he had been apparently molested as a child. So the suicide note he wrote, he entitled The End, and this is more of what he wrote. As I approach life without my best friend in a fascist hellscape, I see no path forward. For over a decade, I've been a burden on those I love the most, and I do not want to burden others similarly again. When he references his best friend, his wife had left him. Unbelievably painful, particularly for a man who did not know God. Stoller explains that he has spent most of his life waking up and wishing I was dead, in his note, that he'd been planning to take his own life for months. He wrote, I've been open and honest with many of you about my struggles with depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, substance abuse, PTSD, and suicidal ideation over the years. This guy's solution to this, so that other people didn't suffer the same, was to cut families off, to liberate children. It's very, very sad that this man died in the grip of this delusion, spiritual delusion, by his own hand. His suicide notes is an absolute screed against God. Is there a God? Will I go to heaven or hell? If there's a God, I will go to my eternal destination and slap him in the face. Blank God and blank everyone who loved him more than their own children. I spent my whole life making excuses for a God who never raised a finger to spare me from being molested as a child or the lifelong consequences of that abuse. Those consequences have slowly but surely consumed everything in my life, including now my marriage and soon me as well. I've read the Bible backwards and forwards. I've created theology and imagined liberation among the ruins of my childhood faith. I've said what Jesus never did, and to what end? To whitewash tombs full of bones of the dead. Meaningless, meaningless. So goodbye. I don't know if this is a goodbye forever or if there's more torture to come, but goodbye for the here and now. He created the theology. People often ask, if God is good, why does he allow bad to happen? Because we weren't good. Because we chose to make ourselves apart from God. Because we chose to eat from a tree that God called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't believe that God meant book knowledge. I don't believe that he meant to Adam and Eve, if you eat from that tree, the fruit of that tree, you're going to understand the dictionary definition of the word evil. I think what he said is, you're going to have knowledge of evil. It already had knowledge of us in the form of the serpent. It's incredibly sad what's happened to this man, but the solution he came up with to liberate children from loving parents isn't a solution. It's revenge. I do pray for his family. I don't think it's accidental that he adopted child liberation theology. Now, see, this happens all across the spectrum. Sometimes it's liberating children legally from their parents. Sometimes it's allowing children to run their life completely. This is the PCUSA, their 227 GA in Georgia, 227 Georgia. So-called Reverend Rebecca Sager speaks out in favor of supporting wrong sex hormones and surgery for kids. Listen to the age. Listen to this.
Here in New York State, there are still processes in place and healthcare in place for trans members. And at my particular congregation, we are blessed to have many trans members in our congregation. And indeed, last July ordained the first trans minister of word and sacrament from our presbytery. So we are very invested in LGBTQ plus rights here and know many, many families. And I want to put a human face on this particular need and my story that I want to lift up to you today.
So she's giving the background of this fallen denomination, PCUSA, utterly fallen in just about every capacity. And this is how she thinks she'll persuade the rest of us that they're doing the right thing by liberating children to their fleshly desires, their confusion, their defiance of God at the age of...
It's just about one family whose 10-year-old daughter just celebrated her 5-year transversary. And a transversary is the day that she shared with her family for the first time her gender identity, her true self. She proclaimed herself a girl, not knowing that there was anything different about this proclamation, nor that it might affect her whole family in these challenging times.
She was 5. And when she says she's talking about a boy. He was 5 when he said, I'm a girl. 5 years ago, he's now 10. He's been liberated from reality. And this is how she celebrates this at PCUSA. By the way, I misidentified this event. It's actually the gender and it's the gender and sexual conference of the PCUSA, which is ongoing. It back everything. This lady continues.
Times they lived in Kansas at the time. She was 5 years old. She told her parents she was a girl. They sort of went along with it in the first few months. But then when they continued to ask her, are you still a girl? Her response was like, duh, of course I am. There was no doubt in her mind who she was and no doubt in her family's mind how they were going to love her into her full humanness as created by God.
And if the child had said, I'm a cat, they would have loved her and agreed with her and arranged for her to have surgery so that she could have feline-looking eyes. They would have researched how to get her fur, because there is as much organic evidence in terms of brain scans, biology, that one is born in the wrong body in terms of sex as there is species. Exactly as much evidence, because there isn't any. Child liberation theology is real. It's being put into practice in government schools and in therapy offices. And I know people whose kids are in their mid-20s who have sent the goodbye note to their parents. You won't affirm me. You're no longer my parents. May God have mercy. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I thought we were going to move on with news, but just not what God wants me to do this morning. So I'm going to go right along with what God has asked me to do. And how does that happen? Because there's a show sheet. It's sitting here. I look at it and it's a joke. Oh, I mean, I think on another day it'd be a great program. But what God has pointed me back to is the fact that our world is being flooded with false teachers, and it doesn't need to be complicated. We, and I want to address Christian men, myself first of all, because I am the worst offender, as I see it. Apostle Paul had said that he was the worst of sinners. I never went out and killed Christians, praise God. But when I was raising my daughter, well, still am, but she's in her early 20s, when I was raising her as a little kid, when she had questions about same-sex attraction and same-sex activity, I pushed very, very hard my love for family members who are same-sex attracted. And I did say to her that God says it's a sin and we love our family members. And so I would we go to events when those family members were there, when I was still invited to such events, I would make a habit of telling her, I will not stand for anybody calling our family members a name or hating them because of this fact of their life. They are dear people, their blood, their family. I soft-pedaled what the Bible says about same-sex activity, because I didn't want my daughter to think that God was mean. I was unskilled in the way of explanation. And a part of this comes as a man who is in the process of putting together this YouTube channel and this book called The Biblical Rebellion, going back and thinking, if I could do it again, which mistakes would I share with young fathers? That's one right out the bat. That God's mercy and his kindness and his compassion are why he creates the rules for our lives and lets us break them. God understands us. He built us. He knows what's good for us. He designed our bodies and our minds and our souls, and he knows what's good for us. So when he has a prohibition against an activity like opposite sex adultery, like opposite sex fornication, it is not out of hatred. The automotive manufacturers of the world do not hate the cars they make when they say, don't put diesel in a non-diesel burning car. That's not hate. A chef doesn't hate garlic when he says, don't put it in an apple pie. It simply doesn't belong there. And I guess you could have a taste for apple pie. It's not going to break down. Maybe a better example is arsenic at high levels. But arsenic tastes good. Yes, but it will kill you. So I wasn't skilled enough to say, hey, you're asking a lot of questions about this. Let's talk about it. And to emphasize that, you know who loves our same-sex attracted relatives more than we do? God does. And to extend this into other areas of sin, we Christian men must lead in a very difficult way that we can really simplify if we remember the nature of God Almighty. He loved us so much that every single time he did something to try to bring us to him, and we became cold-hearted and turned our faces from him and walked away and acted in defiance, he kept going. He kept pursuing us. I think of Moses speaking to God up on Mount Sinai, and they're having a conversation. And because the conversation took a little while, Moses' brother allowed the people of Israel to go out and sin in horrific ways, sexual and I don't want to use exact words, but mass sexual sin, and literally go do the thing that God told them to not do, which is to worship a golden calf. And Aaron was involved in this. And God at that time said, I'm going to destroy them. And Moses begged for mercy. They did that right after they watched God Almighty spread the sea, open the waters for them, and then they closed them over the Egyptian troops. The troops of Pharaoh. They watched that happen, and then they said, God doesn't know what's best for us. So we're going to do the things he has told us not to do. I wish that I had been skilled enough as a parent to say to my daughter, let's go back through the Bible together. It's not uncommon for people to want to act in defiance of God, but what happens to them when they do that? What occurs in their life? And we Christian men, we're surrounded by false teaching, and it shouldn't be that hard. It should start with the character of God. So as I was resisting telling the full truth to my daughter about what the Bible says about same-sex activity, into which I would intermingle opposite sex activities that are sinful, into which I would mingle other sins, I would have shared with her, hey, sometimes sin feels good to our flesh. Almost always sin feels good to our flesh. But so does eating nothing but cookies. Until you weigh 440 pounds and can't walk. And it's painful to try to sleep, and you can no longer smell foods because the fat particles have built up, molecules have built up in your nose. And it's painful to sit in the chair. But man, those cookies. It's an absurd example, but I'm talking about speaking with a 5-year-old. And then a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old whose questions became less and less often asked because the world was answering for her. The false teachers were answering. And it had tremendously bad results. We Christian men have to rebel against the world to choose God's and his character. The defying of the false teachers, the calling them out, begins with God's character. Well, what sort of terrible, mean God would tell people who are born same-sex attracted or have become same-sex attracted, as is, in my judgment, more often the case? How can a loving God tell them that they must deny who they are? Because he's a loving God. Because he can see beyond this small period of time, this short period of time on earth. He can see eternity. He is a loving God who created us because he loved us, who came for us with prophets and acts of incredible miracles. And ultimately his son, because he loves us, he's begging us, don't do this thing. And yet he'll let us do it because he wants to be loved. He lets us sin because he wants to be loved. Because if we cannot choose to sin, we cannot choose to love. Not in any real sense. So I wish I'd done a better job at this. False teachers all around. This comes from Protestia on Twitter. Reverend Mackie Alston had some explaining to do about God and sacrifice and Abraham being told to sacrifice Isaac.
I am preaching from the lectionary, assigned readings from the Bible that Protestant denominations like ours encourage preachers to preach on each Sunday. That said, my sermon title is, That Was Never God.
By the way, he's speaking in a church absent any crosses, but with lots and lots of rainbow stuff.
So I ask you to listen to these words from Genesis and make up your own mind about how God moves in this world. And when the writers of sacred texts get it right, and when they don't. After these things, God tested Abraham. So if we, my queer and trans and broken-hearted brave siblings here at Middle, can really take this fact in, that we are loved and we are here to love, then I believe that we are equipped to discern the truth from the lie. And the lie is everywhere. Yeah. In the media, in politics, in our...
Okay. So he is contending that Abraham, God never told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. This is this man's apparent contention. Because he's discerned this. Because God would never do that.
Institutions, in our relationships, in our own hearts, and in the Bible. Love never, no, never tells anyone that it's a good idea to hurt or kill a child. Spiritually, psychologically, or literally.
Okay, this is a proponent of giving kids wrong sex hormones and surgery. This is a proponent of telling kids that to defy the clear word of God is a good and loving idea. I don't know this to be the case, but I'm guessing because of all the rainbow flags, this is a pro-abortion church. God saw the ending. God saw that he would have a ram available. God told Abraham to do something unthinkable to Abraham, knowing that Abraham wouldn't have to do it, but would be willing to. God Almighty did that to his son. And Jesus agreed to have it done unto him for us. His point, this false teacher, that God would never do this, falls in the face of this when you look at the sacrifice that Jesus Christ agreed to do as part of the triune Godhead, that God poured out his cups of wrath on his own son's head. He loves us that much. Now, truly, God tells us to not murder. And God saw the end of Abraham's attempt at sacrifice. And incidentally, Isaac was not a little boy. He was carrying the firewood. So he was a child, but not a little tiny boy.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And yet in families and churches and in society, in the name of God, even in the name of love, we're taught just that. That we must cut off a limb to save the body. We must cut queer and trans folk from community, or the queer or trans part of us from our very beings, which, of course, is a perverse myth, for we who are queer or trans through and through.
If you extend this into any other arena, the false teaching becomes evident and clear that God cannot be around sin. No one is telling you to cut a limb off. When Jesus talked about if your right hand sins, cut it off, it is better to go into the kingdom of heaven one-handed than to not go into the kingdom of heaven, I didn't see any examples of Jesus producing a sword and saying, here, do it. He was talking about the gravity of this. That to deny yourself daily, to take up your cross daily, to follow Jesus daily, means to deny the flesh. And guess who is the very best at denying the flesh? Jesus Christ, who never sinned. Jesus Christ, who had flesh, fully God, fully human, never sinned. We see his flesh on display, so to speak, in the garden as he was sweating blood. His flesh was saying, Father, as he knelt in prayer, is there another way? Please take this cup from me. I do not want to drink it. Jesus was described as being in agony. He'd asked his friends to stay awake with him, and they couldn't. Their flesh was weak. Jesus' flesh was calling out, don't put me on that cross. As fully God, fully human, he knew what was going to happen. Don't pour the cups of wrath on me. Don't let them whip me and scourge me. Please don't make me do this. After he'd agreed to do it. And very quickly, Jesus said, and yet not your will be done, rather, not my will be done, but your own. Jesus's faith conquered his flesh, and he went through unbelievable torture. Some people think it's, quote, just the cross. To have God's entire storage bin, all the cups of wrath for all sins ever committed and all sins that ever would be committed, poured out on the head of Jesus Christ on that cross. And then that moment of separation from his Father. They'd always been together and always will be, but for that moment. Confronting false teachers begins by being grounded in the character of God Almighty. And we fathers, we Christian fathers, we need to be very good at this. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performances and guarantee future results. Trek 26-112. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling in a personal note. And in this case, response to a couple of email messages I was blessed to receive. This in regard to Independence Day and a message we shared last Friday. We'll get to that. Let me start here. If you are someone like me who's been a bit of a fanatic about learning about the technocratic medical class and our good dear friends, pharma, you will have heard the name Professor Angus Delgish. He's a world-renowned oncologist. And very early on, he began to be a COVID truth-teller and was branded a heretic, and they tried to kick him out of all the important medical societies and all of the pressure that the technocratic medical class put on people who told blatant truth about the COVID shots. Now, he's telling yet more truth, and he's explaining the harm that's continuing to be caused by these shots. And the harm is not going to end I can't say that. It doesn't appear that it's going to end because there's no off switch for the spike proteins that your body might be producing. And this was the most astonishing development in the history of medicine to me, next to the ice pick lobotomy. And the ice pick lobotomy won a Nobel Award. Take an ice pick, put it usually in someone's left eyelid, lift up their eyelid and hammer it into their brain, breaking bone to get into the prefrontal cortex. And this was a magical cure for depression and anxiety of housewives, was how that was pitched. People stood by and watched that and said, oh, wow, that's great medicine. There was exactly one doctor of renown who spoke out against this. He was also the first to speak out against the abuses of pharma and the lies of transgenderism. So this thing with the spike protein, it's not hammering an ice pick into your head. It's hijacking your genes so that they produce a poison, something that's harmful to your body. There was no way possible for me that anyone who has any knowledge of the human immune system, even like me, I'm a community college dropout, wouldn't think this is a bad idea. So this world-renowned oncologist yesterday woke up and forgot more about medicine than I'll ever know. Here's what he's observing.
Thing that people who'd been stable with cancer, melanoma, for years started relapsing at the beginning of 22. And I asked for any reason why this might have occurred. And I noted they'd all been given boosters by their GPs, which if they'd asked me, I wouldn't have done that. And so we had to look around. What's the reason? Why would a booster allow a cancer to come back? Well, it turned out it's very simple, that boosters suppress the T cell response. The first two will increase it a bit, but a booster suppresses it. And that's exactly what we found. But then a group from Madrid published a wonderful paper saying T cell exhaustion after third COVID vaccine in cancer patients, with an incredible data. It showed it very, very clearly. And so therefore, any cancer suppressed and controlled by the immune system, you suspect might pop up after the booster. Surgeons noted their colorectal patients were very difficult to treat. They were presenting late and they were presenting young, and they found that these patients had all had the booster too.
The T cell immunity's inability to withstand the assault from the spike proteins can lead to a lot of harms, cancer included. It can also, there's also an IgG4 receptor in your body that can it can become deranged, so that it thinks that a virus is an allergy and an allergy is a virus. That's not cancer, but it can be just as deadly. There's not going to be justice on this earth for the Pfizers and Modernas. They just got more money. Moderna's mRNA flu shot's been approved. Pfizer just got $1.5 billion for more mRNA COVID shots. there will be justice in heaven. I would just advise every single human being to remember forever what they did under cover of COVID. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like the COVID masters on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babbling.
Hey, if you have an issue with trans women being in cis women's sports, you're either not a real athlete, because any real athlete would welcome a challenge and welcome the opportunity to show that they're better than the other person, or two, you're a sore loser, or just not an athlete in general. So,
three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. There's a whole bunch of problems with the Republican Party. They're not the same problems as the Democrat Party. They are now running for office. People who have pledged to destroy Western culture and America. They've pledged it. Mike Johnson should not seat them in Congress. He will, but he shouldn't. This woman's name is Milot Kyros. And Milot Kyros wants you to understand her views about the 9/11 attacks.
Do you believe that the 9/11 terrorist attacks on America were the inevitable consequence of American foreign policy?
Inevitable in the sense that we destabilized a lot of the Middle East, that forced people to believe that another act of violence was the only response. And again, just like I said before, our responsibility is to getting rid of those conditions that lead to violence in the first place.
Okay. In regard to destabilization, how destabilizing it is to a country to run for office people who have pledged to destroy the country, which is what the Democrat socialist candidates have pledged to do. The United States has made mistakes, there's no doubt. But the destabilizing force in the world, I don't think that's us. I think it's Satan who wants fighting and discord, and I also think it's satanic faiths. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, Jake Tapper was going after Secretary Mullen in regard to the ending of the temporary protected status for Haitians and Syrians, and it didn't go well for Jake.
They have a level 4 do not travel advisory for Haiti just from a few months ago, from April, and it says, quote, violent crime is rampant. The expansion of gang organized crime and terrorist activity has led to widespread violence. Crimes involving firearms are common. Crimes include robbery, carjacking, sexual assault, and kidnappings for ransom. That doesn't sound safe to me.
Well, that do not travel is not for Haitians. That's do not travel for the United States, because they are kidnapping or trying to kidnap individuals from the United States because they feel like their family has the money to pay the ransom.
But that's for Americans traveling there? Yes. And incidentally, if you've seen the people who filed the initial lawsuits against the ending of the temporary protected status, those Haitians, they are doctors and engineers and teachers and builders. The exact people their country needs to come back. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, a Chicago pastor named Charlie Dates was speaking about Justice Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court.
There are some chocolate people who prefer the way things used to be in Egypt, like that fellow on the Supreme Court who wants to take us back to making bricks with no straw. And even if y'all didn't say amen, I would say it anyway, and I'm going to say it right now. I don't understand how black people who got appointed to that bench, where it was obviously both their color and their credentials that moved that president to put them there, would turn around and look at all future generations of black people and say, we ought to go back to making bricks with no straw. Shame on you.
Did Clarence Thomas? That's right. He said that temporary means temporary. That when one executive branch under Obama or any other president says you can come here temporarily, the next executive branch can come along and say the temporary status is over. Oh, that's making bricks without straw. Got it. Got it. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babylon.
That was the Tower of Babylon.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note, last Friday we spoke about Independence Day. And I made mention of the fact that I have friends who served in the military who cannot be around 4th of July activities. And I make a differentiation between 4th of July and Independence Day. I know they're the same thing in people's minds. But if you're curious about what I said about this, you can go to the podcast, AFR.net, AFR stream, listen to the podcast. And this came in response because I was talking about guys with PTSD. And they have young kids, and they don't. The kids want the fireworks. They want the 4th of July activities. And these guys who served, some of them, just can't be around the blasts. In North Idaho, people blow things up in the air. And it brings back this PTSD. So Scott wrote me from Herndon, Virginia. Dear Todd, I listen to you every opportunity I get on AFR. I appreciate that you put God into everything you talk about. And sometimes the shows are just about God. That's a huge relief in this world that's just news, news, news. I wanted to personally thank you for recognizing people like me who do suffer from PTSD and are triggered by fireworks. Before someone says, oh, you're a snowflake triggered like a leftist, it's not the fireworks or the sounds or the explosions. It's what I hear afterwards. When I hear fireworks going off, I hear the voices of people I knew screaming out in agony. And I hear the calls for medics. And that's what comes into my mind. Other people can hear different things. I've had people say incredibly stupid things to me, like, why don't you play music while the fireworks are going off so you can be around your kids? The music simply adds a layer to this. That's very, very difficult for me. It's kind of a layer of normalcy, Todd. My kids are 11 and 13. This is the first year they've agreed to come into the mountains with me and their mom. I've always thought the kids should be able to have the joy of fireworks. That's not something I want to be around. So we're going up into the mountains together. I've struggled with a way to try to explain this to them so that they could relate. And then it occurred to me, I never want them to relate. My son says he's going to serve in the military. Of course, I will support that decision. We do come from a family of service. And I pray on my knees that my son is never, ever confronted with the battles I faced. I lost dear friends in those battles. I'm proud of our service. I'm proud of what we did. But I would ask people around Independence Day, 4th of July, as you said, to be mindful that some of us feel it differently. Thank you for mentioning that on your show, Todd. And please stop emphasizing the fact that you never served. We've heard you say it. We recognize it. You just serve in a different way. Scott from Herndon, Virginia. Scott, thanks for the note. And praise God that you got to go up in the mountains with your kids. And how could you have them understand this? I think the very act of you removing yourself from those days is going to be something that already helps them understand. They're young. They're not yet fully mature. But there will never be a fireworks display. They attend that they don't tie back to the fact that their dad has sacrificed something he may never get back. And that is the ability to enjoy days like this. But could I flip this around on you, Scott? What a gift God's given you to go apart from the 4th of July, the fireworks events, to not hear the voices of your friends you lost screaming. But maybe this is a day that you could share with your kids the voice of your friends with whom you served before all that, when they talked about their dreams and their hopes and some of the laughter that I'm sure you had training together and getting ready to serve together, maybe that's the process of overriding those memories with the ones that are so dear to you. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations until God grants us permission to speak again together. May His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been a Disciples View.